KJ Talk Radio, coming to you once again from Glenard, Maryland. Myself, the author of street literature novels, How Do You Want It, Mo Dirty and Dirty South, to name just a few. Daryl King, and entrepreneur extraordinaire over here, my homie, my pal, co-host, Mr. Albert Jones Jr. What you doing today, man? How's everything going with you today?
Oh, man, everything going pretty good. I had a pretty busy morning this morning, and to try to get prepared to do this show, man.
I know, that's right, man. That's what we do all the time. Now, I tell you what, riders, we have a very special program for you today. We will be interviewing Mr. Charles McIntosh, who is an up-and-coming playwright. He has some very, very exciting material that he would love to have us support. Very exciting plays and more. I think he has even some aspirations for the silver screen in the future for himself. Mr. McIntosh, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fine. Can't be better. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself, sir?
Well, I'm a native Washingtonian, and I have been writing for the last maybe 20 years. And my inspiration is, you know, to help out people who have gone through maybe some troubled lifestyles or paid for their choices. Just to give a little bit of light on how to overcome struggles in life is my inspiration for writing. You know, I'm 36 years old, and I enjoy the entertainment industry, and we look forward to doing, like you said, film and writing some good plays, and to enter this urban market and put in our flavor. That's a little bit about me.
Okay, that's great. Jonesy, man, what do you have to say to that? That sounds fantastic.
Oh, fantastic.
You know.
Yeah. Mr. McIntosh, question here. I understand that you have a play coming to town called Making It Big. What's this play entails?
This is a story about myself, a true story. It's a street genre, but it is a very articulate, smart dialogue, and it's a piece that we tried to show a different side that's a little bit different than the other films that's been put out there on this genre, like Menace to Society, which was a great film. But I tried to come from, you know, a different angle, where we dealt with the pain of what these people in this street life deal with. It's a story that I wrote, you know, purposely to reach all audiences. Mm-hmm. We've had people that come to our shows, seniors, young adults, children, and they've all come away with a very good experience. Making It Big is a true story about myself. It's just talking about the consequences of choice. We have live music. We have the band here, popular band here in Washington D.C. called Faces You Know. They're doing the music for the show. We have all professional, what you would call working actors. That's all they do for a living. Mm-hmm. And we have live singing. I mean, just a full showcase of the arts and the skill of the arts.
That's nice. That's awesome.
That sounds fantastic.
This show is December the 20th, mm-hmm. the Sunday, December the 20th, and it will be at Central Auditorium in Capitol Heights, Maryland. And if you wanted tickets for it, you could go to our website. That's MIBIG.com. And they're also in some local stores, Jesus Bookstore in Camp Springs. It's also at the Hobo Shop, the clothing shop, and it's at Forestville IHOP.
Wow, okay. Those are the locations where you can purchase tickets.
Yes, sir.
Okay, fantastic. Just wanted to ask one thing now. you know, are you guys, like, you know, during the time of the event, would you be offering any of your fans or any of the patrons anything for attending the show?
Say that one more time.
Would you be offering any of the patrons anything for attending the show?
Oh, yes. Well, we have a special gift for the listeners of KJ Radio. Whoever would log in and purchase tickets now, we would have a will call list of those people, and we would offer them free dinner.
Okay.
So what the dinner consists of, you know, what type of food are you serving?
We have a barbecue restaurant that is providing concessions, so it's a full course meal. We have barbecue ribs, chicken, pork chops, and all of the sides that you can imagine, baked beans, string beans, potato salad, coleslaw, corn, fresh biscuits. You know, it's a really
you're throwing it down.
Oh, yeah, oh, definitely.
Oh, I'm trying to come. They're gonna have all that junk. I'm definitely want to come to. You know, definitely when there's any place that you can go that you can eat.
Oh yeah.
You got to check it out.
Right.
You got to check it out. But yeah. But again, also, so where is, you said the Lincoln Theater, is that where you all will be?
We're at Central Auditorium.
Central
Auditorium, yes. Capitol Heights, that's off of Central Avenue, right?
Yes, sir.
I know exactly where it's at.
The exact address is 200 Cabin Branch Road.
Okay.
In Capitol Heights, Maryland.
Got it.
And we have a phone number if people wanted to purchase over the phone. It's 202-534-7577.
All right. So that's how we got all the information that we need to go and check this play out, y'all. So we definitely got to go and support this brother. Yes, Jonesy.
Mr. Maggis, I want to ask you I know you said this story, this play is about your life. What kind of, like, inspired you to write this about your life? I know it happened, but what really gave you the energy to really do this?
Well, I myself was shot 13 times in Washington, D.C. I was ambushed by three men, rear selling.
Oh. Wow.
And I lost both of my legs. Mm. I was in a coma for 74 days. And I stayed in the hospital approximately for about a year, learning to breathe again. And once I woke up and you know, came back to myself, I realized that God still had a work for me.
Right.
Yeah. And what my main ambition is, it's to not only to write something that would inspire and help people kind of change some of their ways in their life, but also something that would be the skill of the arts. A story that's enjoyable to watch. That it would be a family fun night out, you know? That also has a good message. And I think that's what a lot of the urban theater is doing today. Not only are you getting a good message, but you're getting a good laugh and you're getting, you know, a good night out and some really skilled, productions. So, you know, I don't write comedies. I write dramas, but you know, we are definitely trying to, talk about some of the issues that are in our community, but also laugh and cry and have some good singing and, you know, just have a good time.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's what I feel that, you know, a play is all about, or a really good motion picture, is that you feel the whole range of human emotion. If a film or play can actually produce that, I think that you pretty much got something good going on and everything.
Right.
So, yeah, Mr. McIntosh here for the writers tonight. So I want to say, do you pretty much your, as far as your marketing and promotion, have you gotten a pretty good fanfare so far?
Well, we just came back from Los Angeles with the show making a big run in Burbank and Los Angeles and Hollywood and Sherman Oaks in North Hollywood. We were out there 4 years preparing for, you know, meeting known actors, working with stunt coordinators, you know, because the vision of this play is much broader than where it is now. Mm-hmm. We're actually trying to, you know, add to, we have a 120-page script. We're working off of maybe half of it. There's a lot of stunt coordination and stuff that we want to add into it. But we were in L.A. 4 years. And I came back to the East Coast, so we are trying to gain our following here. And that's why we're working with one of the local go-go bands, Faces You Know. And we're trying to get D.C. to fill our vibe, you know?
Right. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So this is our premiere. This is our premiere to the Washington, D.C. area. That's why we haven't gone downtown yet. We plan to get into some of those other venues, Lincoln Theater, Warner Theater, Constitution Hall. We have a wide range of known actors that has worked with us, that will continue to work with us. So it's a really good show, but we're introducing it to the D.C. area. I'm from D.C., so I came back home from L.A. and said, hey, let's get some actors from New York and from the D.C. area. And let people know about making it big.
Wow. Nice. Okay. Wow. Well,
Mike, I want to ask you, how many shows would you be doing here in D.C.?
Well, this is a premiere, so it's only two shows for the one day.
Okay.
But we will be here for at least a year, but we will be on tour as well. So
right.
The play would leave and come back. It'll kind of happen like that. But McIntosh Theater and Film is the name of my company. What we aspire to do is to hire D.C. artists to travel with us so that we put our city on the map. So we're
uh-huh.
really trying to gain all of our stagehands, our set design, all of the full spectrum of the production, you know, aspects from the Washington, D.C. area. And then when we go on tour, you know, they can see the skill and the quality of people that we have here in the city. I don't think we have showcased enough around the world what the D.C. talent has to offer. So we'll be here for a while.
Okay.
So where would you go when you leave the D.C. area? Where are you headed?
Well, our next stop is Atlanta. We're going to do the Fox Theater in Atlanta, which is about a 4,000-seat theater in the heart of Atlanta. And we plan to hit also Chicago and Detroit and then back into New York. And then we want to be back here in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow.
So we're planning a four-city tour.
But you head into Atlanta, that's my town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Atlanta, it's a lot of love in Atlanta.
Right, definitely.
Yeah, that's the Black Hollywood, that's what they call it. Well, I'll tell you what, we definitely got some more to ask you when we return, but, you know, as always on internet radio, as in, you know, broadcast radio, we got to pay bills. So we shall return. And when we return, we're going to hear some more from Mr. Charles McIntosh and some of his new work that he has coming and some things that he is actually thinking of bringing to the silver screen. When we return on KJ Talk Radio.
Pump Up Your Book Promotion proudly presents Daryl King's urban thriller, Mo Diddy. It has been long said that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Darfuski Island is a bustling gateway for the illicit narcotic trade coming into Savannah. There is money to be made and territories to be defended. Yet within the chaos, there is a balance of power. Whiskey Battle is a streetwise hustler with the right connections. He knows what he needs to know to safely navigate the eddies of the island's rising drug trade. Police Chief Mickey O'Malley has a reputation for enforcing his own code of laws. His cavalier one-size-fits-all sense of justice is applied equally no matter how minor the infraction. Punk kids tagging vacant buildings are criminalized no differently than the drug dealers who sell millions of dollars of coke. O'Malley's arrival threatens the profits and borders of all the street gangs, forcing enemies to suspend grudges and sign temporary peace treaties. Will the alliances between the bosses and the thugs, with the help of the rogue cops, bring a permanent end to the militant police chief? Or will O'Malley use blood feuds to enforce his personal vision of justice? Mo Dirty is available through all fine bookstores and online through Amazon.com. Pump Up Your Book Promotion is a full-service public relations firm that specializes in online book promotion.
All right, we are coming back with Mr. Charles McIntosh, a playwright from the Washington, D.C. area right here at Chocolate City. And also, while we were away, we had Mr. Patrick Charles, a.k.a. Brooklyn Boss, another member of our KJ Talk Radio family here. So, Engineer Don, if you can hear me, if you can turn on all three of those speakers, we would appreciate it, because we got the Brooklyn Boss here now. We'll be answering asking some questions of Mr. Charles McIntosh. So, Mr. McIntosh, basically, what do you want your legacy to be in the playwright and film industry?
Well, I would want that at the end of the run that we had put out some very good work. The skill of the arts is my ambition, just to be able to compete with mainstream markets like Broadway, to show that you know we have the skills and the ability as African Americans to compete in any market. So I'm really, you know, want to grow as a writer. To put out productions that are, you know, that people can appreciate the skill of it, as well as the life building tools and answers that they get from, you know, our storyline. So it's twofold for me. I love for people to learn and to grow and to add to my community. But also to be able to say that, you know, we were skillful at what we did.
Right, right, exactly. Okay, so that sounds very, very life affirming. I'll say one thing. What do you feel with the popularity of Tyler Perry, let's say, and you know, you go back, you look at a lot of, even back in the day, the what was called the Chitlin' Circuit, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe, with film and you know, play stage plays, do you feel that African Americans have picked up, stepped their game back up in that regards, or do you feel that we still have a lot of work to do in compared to our proud beginning in stage and screen, even back to the Chitlin Circuit days?
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent question. I think that we have really made great progress. I really appreciate, even though I'm not a comedic writer, I appreciate what Tyler Perry does, what he's added to the game. This brother has done some really good work. I know that sometimes it's a controversy behind it. But, you know, I feel that each man has to do what's in his heart. And right. and that's what's so great about the art is my art is my art. You know, you can't say that it's not good. You know what I mean? Because art is such that we get to express what we are dreaming up, what we're imagining, what we're feeling, what we want to say. And so I think that the only thing that I would request or try to add is that we wouldn't follow in the same template all the time. That we would get into some of the August Wilson kind of writing and some of the street genres and, you know, some of the other issues and areas that because the thing that I don't appreciate sometime about how African Americans are depicted is that it makes us seem like we're all the same.
Okay.
And when people don't fit the mold, they're deemed to be acting white or acting this or acting that when they're just another style of an African American. We are very diverse people. And
true.
I love what Tyler Perry does. It's hard for me to do it. I can't write comedy, you know. But I'd love to see what some of the other writers have. In that respect, I wish we would kind of step it up a little bit just to say, you know, we have something else to say besides a joke and a song. You know what I mean?
Right,
dislike the joke and the song. I love the joke and the song, but I know that there's much more in our community to be said.
Okay, very good. I like that. Now, Brooklyn Boss, in here listening to this, man, you yourself being in the in that same genre of playwriting and film, you have any question for Mr. McIntosh there?
Well, how you doing, Mr. McIntosh? I'm again Patrick Charles. I call the Brooklyn Boss, Moneybag Pat, all the accolades. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I was just basically just listening, and we were just talking about, I guess, the Tyler Perry situation as far as how he's taking characters such as Madea and Pop Brown and transformed them now to, let's say, almost like household, you know, household names and household figures. But some people have a feel that the depiction of these characters seem to step us back. And I just heard you just basically saying that you like what he does. But can you go ahead and actually give just a little bit more insight as to how you feel personally about them characters that Tyler Perry actually displays?
Well, I mean, I agree to one extent that they are real characters. My only disagreement is that they're not the only characters in our community. That's the only feeling that I really have about it is that, we have some comical people in our community, that would make you laugh all day long. I know a few cats like that that would just.
You must know Pookie now.
Right.
That's Mama Num.
Right.
That's Mama Num.
Oh, okay.
Right. Where it gets kind of touchy, and that's why I also understand the controversy, like what Spike Lee, you know, kind of came out and said. I kind of feel where he's coming from, too, because where it gets kind of shaky is that when we have the ability to speak to billions of people all over the world, we have to be kind of responsible that they see more than one depiction of who we are as a culture, as a nation, as a people. My only concern, that everything that comes out is pretty much the same vein. So I'm saying to the writers out there, the Daryl Kings of the world, the Charles McIntoshes of our nation, let's put some of our stuff out there. Let's get it out mainstream so that we show the diversity that couples, black people that love their wives, that adore their children.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
That, yeah, right.
That
right,
are
right,
always
right,
joking.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
I agree.
That are always joking. That some, you know, they just handle their business. You know what I mean? So that's really where my heart is about it. But at the same time, you know, sometimes when we critique people, we have to realize that it's not for them to do. Maybe the reason why we feel like criticizing them is because we should be doing it.
Yes.
And that's how I feel about it. So I'm just trying to do my part, you know?
I understand, and that's great, Mr. McIntosh, because as me also being a filmmaker and a producer, I look for characters that have, in particular, characters that represent our culture, our people as African Americans. I look for actors and actresses that can be multifaceted and also just show not just the stereotypical black family or the stereotypical black family that has an Ivy League education or the stereotypical black family who has low income and live in public housing. One of the key things I always wanted to mention, and I want to probably poll your opinion on this, sir. How do you feel, let's say, about characters also that may have that stereotypical appeal to them, but the image or the message that they're trying to bring forth, whether it's, let's say, it's spiritual awareness or, let's say, political or social consciousness? What are your takes on that, sir?
Well, that's what's so great about making it big. We have a story about a drug dealer who wants out and who's betrayed by his partner. But it's funny because these guys don't act like thugs. They really don't even act like drug dealers. And when you watch the story, even though they sell drugs, but you see that they live normal lives. They care about their children being able to eat. They care about what schools their children go to. They care about their family issues. And that's, I think we could use these different, you know, kind of characters, but tell the true story about people that joke all the time. They hurt too.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So we could take these stereotypical characters, but we can show other sides to them. Like Meet the Browns. I mean, these guys, you know, you can show another side to them. You can show, and not saying that he isn't, because I haven't watched much of that, you know. But, I would say to you that it's nothing wrong with these stereotypical characters. What's wrong is if we depict them in the same way every time.
True, indeed. It's almost the same as basically taking the same situation and just putting a different face or a poster one over the other. And no matter how many posters you put basically on a low-income building, it's still going to look the same no matter how many posters that are on there.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be straight up with you, man. What kind of irks me sometimes is that every play has a man playing a grandmother. So I'm saying, well, okay, that maybe we're taking that too far. Tyler Perry did well with it. Now let's come up with something else. You know,
absolutely.
So making it big. The funny thing about it, when we were in L.A., most of our audience were white, Armenian, and Latino. And bruh, this is an all black cast. And they got it. They understood it because we were talking about human issues. We wasn't talking about the hood. You know what I mean? These guys just happen to be drug dealers. So I'm saying there's much more the Browns have to say. There's much more that Madea has to say other than, you know, what may be seen or depicted on a regular basis. And I'm not trying to pick on Tyler Perry at all. I'm just using that as an example because I'm sure that he's saying much more with these characters. I've watched his shows and I've seen his writing grow. And that's sometimes another thing, bruh, is we got to know that we're growing in our craft too.
Yes.
And the brothers' works are increasingly better, and even though it was skillful from the beginning. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But, you know, I hope I answered your question.
Oh, yes, indeed. That sounds like a casting call to all those females that are ages 40 to 50. You need to go ahead and start stepping the game up in order to play these characters a little bit better instead of having men to play these characters.
Right.
All righty, Mr. McIntosh. I'm going to pass it back to Mr. King.
All right. Well, hey, man, I don't even want to stop you, brothers. You know what I'm saying? It just happens to be that time once again on KJ Talk Radio where we got the pause for the cause. We shall return with some more with our evening with Mr. Charles McIntosh, y'all, KJ Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is your new friend, Julio, and I'm talking to you because I like to listen to BBSRadio.com. I sneak over the border every day, and I go see my girlfriend. She got a computer. Come on now, sing it, girls.
Pop-Up Your Book Promotion proudly presents Daryl King's urban thriller, Mo Duty. It has been long said that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Darfuski Island is a bustling gateway for the illicit narcotic trade coming into Savannah. There is money to be made and territories to be defended. Yet within the chaos, there is a balance of power. Whiskey Battle is a streetwise hustler with the right connections. He knows what he needs to know to safely navigate the eddies of the island's rising drug trade. Police Chief Mickey O'Malley has a reputation for enforcing his own code of laws. His cavalier one-size-fits-all sense of justice is applied equally no matter how minor the infraction. Punk kids tagging vacant buildings are penalized no differently than the drug dealers who sell millions of dollars in coke. O'Malley's arrival threatens the profits and borders of all the street gangs, forcing enemies to suspend grudges and sign temporary peace treaties. Will the alliances between the bosses and the thugs, with the help of the rogue cops, bring a permanent end to the meddlesome police chief? Or will O'Malley use blood feuds to enforce his personal vision of justice? Mo Duty is available through all fine bookstores and online through Amazon.com. Pump Up Your Book Promotion is a full-service public relations firm that specializes in online book promotion.
Right, KJ Talk Radio, y'all. We're back again with Mr. Charles McIntosh, playwright of Washington, D.C. area, doing some good things, having some big things happen for him. And, you know, we're just going to keep it moving right now. Jones, do you have any questions you wanted to ask Mr. McIntosh before he gives us his information and everything?
Well, I want to, Mr. McIntosh, I want to ask you if, I know you said you had, you have all the, you got actors out of, New York, you have actors out of California. Are you still looking for people to participate, perform in your plays, and perhaps can people still audition for play off field?
Of course they can. The sad thing, you know, I think we have to get us a mainstream network here in Washington, D.C. I know that there's a lot of talent out there,
right.
But it's very hard to communicate with them. Just to give you an example, when I go into New York and L.A. and we do casting calls, we have maybe 1,000 or more people that show up. Here it's a lot harder to find talent. So if you go to our website, MIBIG.com, and send us an email and a headshot, we would definitely love to audition singers and actors, you know, because we plan to do webisodes. We are working on a pilot for an HBO series. We are definitely going to do films next year. We're going to shoot Making It Big as a film. And we also are looking at a reality show. We're also looking at putting out the first great big go-go movie, which hasn't been done well yet. So yeah, we're definitely looking for actors and actresses and singers and to be a part of our production company.
Well, the reason that I ask that too, because I do myself when I'm out and, I get a lot of people calling me, asking me about, film production and also plays. And, since now that, you know, I have talked to you, I know exactly where to send them to.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Definitely. We audition, probably 2 times a month.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Good information. Good information.
I got a quick question I want to ask you. I know that your play is like an urban-based play. Have you ever thought about converting urban lit novels into plays?
I have. You know, one of the things that my company wants to really do is work with some of the, if you go into the Barnes & Nobles, if you go into the bookstores, that there's a vast variety of stories that have been written that are very good books that we would love to collaborate and, you know, show them how to use the stage and film to get the money behind their projects so that story is being told on a mass level. You know, I was talking to Mr. King, and I think that he has some works that easily convert into plays, that easily convert into films, and are very well written, good stories. So yes, I'd love to collaborate. I write all day long. I mean, I'm like Prince when it comes to writing. I can go in the closet and pull out a stack of scripts, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely some of the urban writers have some really intriguing stories, some intriguing titles that need to be showcased on stage, that need to be showcased on the silver screen.
Okay, that's what's up. I mean, that's really what's good. I was wondering also, you know, as far as where is it that entertainment is going right now as far as plays is concerned. You've seen a big, resurrection, if you will, no pun intended, of the vampire here with stories by Stephanie Myers. Yeah, and you know, a lot of that whole genre, horror genre, vampire and werewolf is being reimagined. So what is it in African American pop culture as far as film and also plays that you feel is being kind of reworked, reimagined, revitalized?
I think the inner city, the hip hop kind of inner city kind of genre or community is being heavily targeted now with writing, because there's so many stories, that haven't been, you know, told on a mass level to bring some insight to what's really happening. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, so would you call it, and I say this in the most respectful manner, would you call it kind of like a modern day, a neo, blaxploitation kind of thing?
Somewhat, unfortunately, but,
somewhat.
But, you know, we can put a good connotation on it, we can put a good twist on it by, you know, really showing the other side of those people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, so, yeah, I think that, you know, we definitely need to allow all of the voices in our community to be heard. And, you know, I just encourage that that the writers would start putting the pen to the paper and know that there's a lot, there's a wealth of information out there to get your stuff out there. I mean, the Black Box Theater is where I started, those 50-seat theaters, those 40-seat theaters. You know, and I think as a culture, we always think so big that we forget that there's a beginning, you know? But you can go downtown in Washington, D.C., or in any major city, and there's always an arts district. And I don't think people know that, where you can write your, you know, one-act play and showcase your work and get 40 of your friends and family to come and view it and critique it. So that, you know, your voice is being heard too. I think what's really being revamped is that, you know, that inner city community is being able to speak to other, through the arts. You know, they started out in rap music, but now the, you know, the stage is giving us a means of communicating or expressing, you know, what we're feeling and the emotions that we're going through, which rap music did for us years ago.
Absolutely. And then on top of that, the way how I see it is because we've been shut out. I don't want to say we've been shut out, but before we never had a platform as far as to showcase plays and to showcase any type of production other than something of a musical nature, which i.e. was either rap or R&B. And sure enough, it's so far the emergence of so many different African-American directors and African-American producers and playwrights. I believe that now, as the idea of seeing someone else do it and believing in yourself that you can do it as well, it's now opening up a lot more doors for not just the young, but also adults as well. Jonesy?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I also heard that you mentioned some about you would be like showcasing rappers. You're going to add music to your production in the future?
Well, we have music, but, you know, I'm on a different style than a lot of the different plays. Mm-hmm. We very rarely use songs during our dialogue.
Right. Okay.
The best way to depict what I do is mm-hmm. a film on stage. So when you do hear the music, when you do hear the singing, it's kind of natural to what's happening, and it's very rarely from our characters themselves. But, you know, we do a lot of other different works that we're with our films and with our webisodes that highlight, you know, some of the other styles of singing and stuff like that.
Right,
so, no, it's
right,
no rap
right.
or anything in my play.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I would interject, guys, is that we need to really get past that they haven't given us the opportunity to showcase it and start working together so that we can build our own theaters, so that we can make our
Absolutely.
Own stages.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they are holding us out, man. They holding us out big time. You know, one of my struggles is getting a theater. That's one of my main struggles, is having a variety. And there's literally hundreds of them in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
They're not readily available, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They jack the price up so high.
Right. And that's also myself, me being a native New Yorker, and also from growing up in that Broadway era, from the 70s to the 80s, and watching the change from how old 42nd Street and Broadway looked from the early 80s to how it looks now. I've seen, let's say, a great transformation happen, which is also energetic and positive. And there are right now that I know of, maybe let's say there are teenagers that I know that are actually aspiring to become playwrights and are working towards pulling their productions together to either take it to their school stage and also excel further from their school stage to other avenues as well. So I am with you 100% on that, Mr. McIntosh, that we do need to band together, if not just as for adults and business ventures, but also to show the children basically that it's not only just a viable means of providing a lifestyle for yourself, but it's also energetic and also can be fun as well, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it. We have a program called Arts for Youth. There'll be about 45 youth that we paid for to come to the show. We allow them to go backstage and kind of come early and learn the whole process, to know that there's a vast amount of careers just centered around the stage. There's lighting directors, there's stage managers, there's stage hands, there's producers, directors, writers, and these people have very good careers. So we're trying to encourage our youth, to look at, fun ways instead of always going to college for business and psychology or a lawyer.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But you can also make a lot of money as a writer, as a producer, as a director, as a lighting director, as a technical director. There's a lot in the arts. And it's also fun, like you said.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's wonderful, Mr. McIntosh. Well, I'll tell you what then. From what I've heard, and from me just coming in, basically when I came into the show, usually I kind of make my, so as we call, not say exit stage left, but I usually go to make my own entrance from the time that we start. and I know Jonesy and Mr. King over here probably going to say, well, here he is, Brooklyn Boss. He's finally here. Okay, great. Got him, guys. Let's go. But it was a pleasure and an honor, go ahead, and speaking to you, sir. And I look forward myself personally to go ahead and learning more about the programs, and at the same token, plan on networking as well. And what I'll do is at the time right now, I'll pass it back over to Mr. King, so Mr. King can go ahead and actually chime in on a few more questions and get some parting words from you as far as in your contact information as well.
Okay. Yeah, and I look forward to meeting you, man, and collaborating with you. That would be a very good thing.
Absolutely, Mr. McIntosh. Great. Okay, sir.
All right. So, Mr. McIntosh, well, I tell you what, it's been our pleasure just having you here on KJ Talk Radio today. Again, we would like to hear some information from you, our listeners, as well. Give us some information, contact information, if you want to actually be in one of your plays, if we want to come out to see one of your plays or what have you, and anything that's coming down the pipe in the future, in this coming year.
Okay. Well, the show is Sunday, December 20th, 2009. We have a 4 p.m. show and a 7 p.m. show. It's at Central Auditorium. That's 200 Cabin Branch Road in Capitol Heights, Maryland. My contact number for the company is 202-534-7577. Again, that's 202-534-7577. You can call that number to get information about our shows, our upcoming events, and also to get audition information, as well as go to our website, which is mibig.com. That's mibig.com.
All right.
I look forward to seeing you guys come out.
Oh, well, definitely. I can't wait to come out. I've talked to Jonesy all the time, as well as Brooklyn Boss here, who was working on the actual script as far as Trina is concerned. I know you said you was interested. I would love to have you do one of my works on stage. I'm sure that Brooklyn Boss has a lot to probably kick it with you about, being that he's in that same genre, and also Mr. Jones right here, who loves entertainment and everything, loves everything. He was really, really stoked when he talked to me about actually talking to you. He was like, man, Daryl King, you got to hear this man. This man got it on the ball. This man got the ball, boy. Well, I tell you, my 2010 is looking up. Looking up, boy. Looking up.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey. Oh,
hey,
man.
Hey, you know what?
That's right. It was exciting, man.
Hey, yeah. Mr. King, we also have an after party with Obsession Band at the Wild Cafe at the Boulevard at Capitol Center.
Did y'all hear that?
So,
after party? So will the members of KJ Talk Radio be VIPs at that, man? Huh? Hint, hint, hint.
Whoever buys a ticket to the show gets into the after party free.
All right. Well, that's good. You hear that, y'all? We
gonna I hear.
Sound
exciting.
Can you give us the date and time of that again and location of the after party, sir?
The after party is at Wow Cafe. That's WOW Cafe at the Boulevard in the Capitol Center area.
All right. That's what's good.
We
got a well-known patron there, among the KJ Talk Radio hosts tonight.
Your ticket sell to the show gets you into the club for free.
Oh, okay. All right.
But
sound like a winner.
We're going to have it packed that night. We're going to have to definitely have it packed. And also, would love to have you again on the show real, real soon. My parting messages will come after my colleagues. I'll let them say their little piece, and then I'll run my big mouth before we get up out of here. Jonesy, you first.
Mr. McIntyre, I just want to thank you for being a part of KJ Ready Talk Radio this afternoon. And I'm looking forward to do some work with you in the future. And okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, and I really enjoyed you being on, and I think this was it was great, just been great and fantastic having you on. And like I said once again, looking forward to do some work with you in the future.
All right, man. I look forward to it, too.
Hey.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, sir. This is right here, Mr. Charles, right here, the Brooklyn Boss. I tell you like this. I am just elated, basically, the fact that here that, you know, all the things that you got going on in the pipe and pretty much just your insight and your vision, sir, on where you want to take this industry. Because in this industry, a lot of times, we tend to get lost in the mix of trying to go ahead and go mainstream as far as what we feel that not so much as what the media wants, but for what the studio execs want. And my vision basically is to go ahead and then turn around and go ahead and change that behind myself as also being on the creative side, but also from also being in the back office and being the one who makes decisions. I would definitely go ahead and strive to go ahead and say, let's pull this thing together, because I believe that we can go ahead and make a change and make a difference in how things are running. So thank you so much for your time, Mr. McIntosh.
Oh, man, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Here goes Mr. King.
All right. Those are my two brothers at arms. I love them so much here, KJ Talk Radio. The time has come once again where we have to go ahead and shut it down. But before we do that, we just want to thank, Mr. Charles McIntosh for sharing this evening with us, giving us some pertinent information about all of his playwriting and film activities that will be coming in 2010. We want all of our listeners to go out and support this gentleman, and go out and visit plays and, support all of your African-American entertainers, y'all, because, you know, we have to support each other. And we thank everyone. You don't just have to be African-American to go out and enjoy a nice play and then support. Just be American, you know, just be human. If you love the human drama, the human condition, then you're going to enjoy the plays by Mr. Charles McIntosh. Y'all, this is the end of KJ Talk Radio. We want to wish each and every one of you a happy holiday season, a Merry Christmas, and a wonderful, wonderful New Year. We thank you very much. We could not do what we do without you. So we want you to have a blessed week, blessed day, week, month, and year. Holla at your boy, Daryl King, Albert Jones Jr., none other than Patrick Charles, the Inside Man, Brooklyn Boss, you know it, KJ Talk Radio. Holla.